Thank you for coming back to Temple Baptist Church of Asheville, North Carolina. I hope you had a safe trip to church. That's just a little joke on air during a recording. I hope you're laughing because I don't see anybody laughing here in the auditorium. But we're excited to turn our hymn books to hymn number 633, Jesus Loves Even Me. Brother Worley, why don't you come lead us?
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. Thank you so much for singing that wonderful hymn with us. Now we're excited to have Mrs. Boyer come and sing for us.
And the cares, distress, and the weight. Thank you so much, Mrs. Boyer, for your message and song. Really appreciate that. Joshua chapter 3. We're going to look in Joshua chapter 3. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. Joshua chapter 3, it has 17 verses. Let's read. It's beginning in verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. It came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeraton, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. The people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Here we see the children of Israel coming to the Jordan River, which is kind of a deja vu. And as we remember the Red Sea, the Red Sea crossing, they crossed the Jordan. It's another body of water to pass over. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 2, we see that they waited beside this river for 3 days. They camped outside this Jordan River for 3 days. And let's look a closer look at that. I mean, think about camping outside of the Jordan River and seeing your children play outside, knowing that you're supposed to cross this river. We're supposed to go across this river. Verse 13 tells us that it was high tide, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. This Jordan River, it was high tide. They were actually in the flood zone. It was an area where they were camped beside Jordan that if it overflowed anymore, that they were going to feel wet. They were going to get wet. You see your children playing outside wondering, when are we going to go? We see the children of Israel staying here and waiting now. We may say 3 days may be a long time, but for the children of Israel who had just left Egypt, 3 days may be a short time. But it was still a time of waiting. As they come to a river, they knew it was there. They knew the river was there, and some of them probably knew about how it was overflowing and how it was high tide, it was harvest time, and they may have expected that. But it still was a river to be crossed. And many of us have rivers in our life that are unexpected. Some rivers that come into our life that we weren't expecting. Have you ever had an unexpected river in your life? You had something that just stopped you in your tracks? We make the statement that we must keep moving forward for Christ, but sometimes moving forward for Christ is standing still and waiting on Christ. And that is exactly what happened here for 3 days. And we have a river now that we're standing still and waiting for called COVID-19. COVID-19 is an unexpected river. The principles that we draw from unexpected rivers we can apply to even now, even right now, what we're going through with this virus and with the fears and worry and anxiety that's surrounding this virus. May we understand unexpected rivers. Lord, help us now as we look at some of these principles. Help us to draw this from your word and understand and put it in our hearts. Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What are some principles about unexpected rivers? Number one, unexpected rivers are always expected by God. Unexpected rivers are always expected by God. How many of you believe we serve an all-knowing God? He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you that no one else knows. He also knows your path. When it began, your path began, it was his call. Where it goes, he can direct. When your path ends here on earth, it's his call. Your birthday, your day of death on earth, that's his choice, his decision. He knows when it's coming. Can we trust that God already knew about the COVID-19? Can we trust that God already knows about this virus? Can we trust that God already knows about this pandemic? Can we trust that God knew it was coming? Because we serve an all-knowing God. God knew all about the famine in Egypt. How many remember that? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. I want to show you this. And this is a time of Joseph. And if you remember, Joseph was not treated well as a boy. Joseph was a victim of abuse brought on by the hands of his brothers. They physically abused him and put him in a pit and then brought him out of the pit and sold him into slavery. Jealousy brought him to that point. Joseph was then sold into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house, and he was accused of something he did not do. In fact, he stood up and made the statement, "How can I sin against my God?" And he stood up to Potiphar's wife and was accused of a horrible act. He was thrown in prison. Can you imagine Joseph in prison? God, I've done everything you wanted. That wasn't Joseph's attitude. Joseph was waiting. Now, Joseph wasn't waiting in a beautiful place, in a beautiful house with all the groceries that could be provided. He was waiting in a prison. In a prison. And God used him even in prison. And we know what happened. That word got out that God has given him the ability, the skill of translating, the gift of translating the dreams. And Joseph translated the dream of a prisoner, and the dreams of the prisoner, and they got out, and the other one prisoner got out, and then we see that there was a dream, another dream, and Pharaoh had a dream at this time. Now, Pharaoh had a dream, and there was the prisoner that was there in the palace with Pharaoh. Remember, Joseph in prison can tell you about this dream. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 28, Joseph tells Pharaoh the dream. In verses before, he says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. Now listen to this. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. What's he saying here? He's saying you're going to have 7 years of a wonderful, wonderful time. You're going to have plenteous. You're going to have all the everything you wanted. You're going to have plenty of food. But after that 7 years, you're going to have 7 years of nothing. And it's going to be so bad, you're going to forget about how good it was. Year one, worry's going to set in. Anger, strife. And by the end of year seven, there could be no more Egypt. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Did you hear that? Genesis chapter 41 and verse 32, Joseph says something very important. He says, it is because the thing is established by God. This plan is established by God. What is he saying? He's saying what we're about to go through, the 7 years of plenty, it's the 7 years of famine. What we're going to go through is already planned by God. God already knows the rivers we're going to have to cross. God already knows the obstacles in our way. God understands. He expects these things. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Creed? If we know that we serve an all-knowing God, if we know that God is all-knowing, he knows everything, he knows our path, he knows what we're going to decide, he knows what's going to come up in our path, and what we're going to have to deal with, what does that mean? Here's what that means in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what that means. Joseph, when he was in the pit, he was trusting God. When he was in Potiphar's house, he was trusting God. When he was in prison, he was trusting God. When he was in the palace and working as second in command, he was trusting God. And God used him in a great way. Lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Unexpected rivers are always expected by God. When we look at Joshua chapter 3, God is all in this. God is helping Joshua go through this and helping him as he plans this, and he's given him directions on this. Your river might be financial. God knows about it. Trust him. Your river might be fear. God knows about it. Trust him. Your rivers might be family issues. God knows about it. Trust him. Your rivers might be future. God knows about it. Trust him. Your rivers might be health. God knows about it. Trust him. Whatever your river is, it is providentially known by God, and he has a plan for you. I find it interesting. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is a very interesting correlation. John chapter 1. And the scripture of Joshua chapter 3, we see a likeness in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and let's look in John chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 26. It says, "Jesus and John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, we see in the next couple of verses, Jesus was baptized there in the same, in the very same spot, the very same spot that the children of Israel are about to cross. The very same spot there was a miracle in the Jordan River. Jesus was baptized later on. Isn't that wonderful? God has a plan. God has a wonderful plan for our life. And we're so thankful to be here in such a time as this to be used by God, His plan. Unexpected rivers are expected by God. Unexpected rivers are to be times of strengthening. And we are staring at an unexpected river. It's not a time to fall back. And God never tells us to retreat. God tells us sometimes to stand still. God never tells us to tuck tail and run. God never tells us to go back on a decision that we've made for Him. God tells us sometimes to wait. God tells us sometimes to move forward. And even in the waiting times, we can be strengthened. Look at verse number 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Something miraculous is going to happen. Are you ready for that? And I'm asking you, church, Temple Baptist Church, I'm asking you, Christian, we're going through this river. We're staring at an unexpected river in our life. Are you ready for God to work the miraculous? Are you sanctified? Are you set apart, ready and waiting and expecting God to do something great? Joshua chapter 3, verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. This is a great morning for Joshua. He wakes up and God tells him, listen, you're going to be a great leader to Israel. I'm going to magnify you. Here's how I'm going to magnify you, that they may know that as I was with Moses, listen to this, so I will be with thee. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I'm going to magnify you as a leader because you're such a great speaker or you're such a great man or I'm going to magnify you as the leader amongst these Israelites because of you. He never said that. He says, I'm going to magnify you because of me. So I will be with you. So I will be with thee. He's being magnified because of God. Let's not miss this principle. God began to work on the hearts of the people to bring them to trust God. But God also began to work on the hearts of the people to bring them to trust Joshua as earthly leader. These times must strengthen us as believers, but these times must also strengthen us as a church. How can that happen, Pastor Creed? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't be full with worry. Don't be filled with worry. Don't allow worry to guide your thinking, to overtake your thoughts. Don't allow worry and anxiety to come in and cause you to have a certain emotion of fear. Don't allow anxiety and worry to come in and guide your thought process. Then it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep you your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pastor Creed, how can we strengthen our church? Here's what I'm going to tell you. I really don't believe this is a time of laying back and not doing anything. I believe as a church, we still have to move forward. I believe as a church, we still have to fulfill our great commission. You say, what is that? What does that mean? We still have to reach people for Christ. We still have to disciple. We're still called to the Great Commission. Just because there's an unexpected river in the way does not mean that we stop obeying God. We continue. But it says here, by prayer and thanksgiving, praying for one another. Praying for one another. I've asked you to pray every day at noon. Are you doing so? Have you committed to that? I've asked you to pray for our president, pray for our nation, pray for our church, pray for those infected doctors, and pray for our nurses and those in the medical field, those with family members who have gone on to be with the Lord because of this, those who family members who have gone on in death. We're praying for certain preachers in our that we know that have this virus. We need to pray for each other. I want to challenge you to get a list of the church. I hope you have the list of the church members. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. And then it says, thanksgiving. Instead of worrying, pray and thank God for what He's done. I want to say this. You cannot think about your life. No matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what you're going through, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're blessed. You're blessed. Not because you're listening to my voice. You're blessed because God's blessed you. We ought to find things to be thankful for. Every day I want to challenge you. Maybe you're quarantined. Pastor Creed, I can't get out. Pastor Creed, I don't have some of the essentials that I need. Pastor Creed, what can I do? Well, why don't you thank God for what He's given to you? Do you have a roof over your head? I want you to know Asheville right now needs prayer. There's homeless people that have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. Pray for them. We need to be thankful to God for His many blessings instead of complaining. So here's the story. Joshua says, okay, get the Ark of the Covenant. Get the Ark. Together, let's cross this river. And God told them to go ahead and start to cross the river. And when their feet hit the water began to subside. The water began to split. There was dry ground, and they began to walk on dry ground. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we need to get our feet wet before God begins to work. And may we still continue to get our feet wet. We may be waiting, but God still has a work while we wait. Number three. Here's another principle. Unexpected rivers are meant to be crossed. Now, we know unexpected rivers are expected by God. Unexpected rivers, we should be strengthening ourselves through unexpected rivers. Unexpected rivers are meant to be crossed. We can only cross with the presence of God. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Understand something, the Ark of the Covenant symboled the presence of an almighty God. And we need the presence of God in our life. And we can't have the presence of God if there's presence of sin in our life. Repent. Get sin out of your life. You need the presence of God. Why? Because this river needs to be crossed. We need to cross the river. The unexpected rivers are meant to be crossed. God puts them in our way, and He means us to cross the river. This virus, we're going to cross this. We're going to get past this. And we're going to be looking back and thanking God for what He did. We're going to be learning what He taught us as we were crossing this river. They're meant to be crossed, but we need the presence of God. The presence of God brings us power. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped. As the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved. At the presence of God, the God of Israel. We must remember the presence of God. We must remember the promises of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says that He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. My favorite verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. One of my favorite promises, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That should bring us contentment, knowing that God is with us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised that everything's going to work out together for good. Now, the promises of God are for all. I want you to look at verse 17, Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. The promises of God are for all saints. The promises of God are for all seasons. The promises of God are for all situations. The missionary rose and prepared to leave the campsite where he had spent the night and wrote to the city for medical supplies. He extinguished his small campfire, pulled on his canvas backpack, and hopped on his motorcycle to continue his ride through an African jungle into an African jungle. Every 2 weeks, he made this two-day journey to collect money from a bank and purchase medicine and supplies for a small field hospital where he served. When he completed those errands, he hopped on his bike again for the two-day return trip. When the missionary arrived in the city, he collected his money and medical supplies and was just about to leave for home when he saw two men fighting in the street. Since one of them was seriously injured, the missionary stopped, treated him of his injuries, and shared the love of Christ with him. Then the missionary began to his two-day trek back home, stopping in the jungle again to camp overnight. 2 weeks later, as was his custom, the missionary again made the journey to the city. As he ran his various errands, a young man approached him, and the man the missionary had ministered to during his previous trip. I knew you carried money, and I knew you carried medicine with you. The man continued, so my friends and I followed you to a campsite in the jungle. After you helped me in the street, we planned to kill you. And we planned to take all the money then, all the drugs that you had. But just as we were about to move in and attack you, we saw 26 armed guards surrounded and protecting you. You must be mistaken, said the missionary. I was all alone when I spent the night in the jungle. There were no guards or anyone else with me. But, sir, I wasn't the only one that saw the guards. My friend and all the people that were with me, they all saw the guards. We counted them. There were 26 bodyguards, and they were too many for us to handle. Their presence stopped us from killing you. It was months later, the missionary related this story to a congregation gathered at his home church there in Michigan. As he spoke, one of the men listening stood up and interrupted him as to ask exact day the incident in the jungle had occurred. Not only exact day, but the missionary identified the specific month, day of the week, and the time of the day. And the man told him the rest of the story. On that exact night, when you were in the jungle, at the exact time, the incident in Africa, it was morning here in Michigan, and I was on the golf course. I was about to putt when I felt a strong urge to pray for you. The urge was so strong that I left the golf course. I called some men of our church right here in the sanctuary to join me in praying for you. Would all the men who prayed with me and met me at the church, would you stand up? The missionary wasn't concerned with who the men were. He was too busy counting them one by one. Finally, he reached the last one. There were 26 men, the exact number of armed guards that thwarted attackers that the attackers have seen. It adds something, how God uses us as we cross these unexpected rivers, as we sit and wait for God's leading. May we pray for each other. May we work and do the work that God has given to us right now. There's an unexpected river even after this one. May we learn from this one. Understand it It doesn't pay to worry, not to be anxious. You're not going to add any height to you, or you're not going to add anything to this or take anything away from it by worrying, but by trusting in God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can open your word. I pray that as we have unexpected rivers in our life, we can take them to you. We know that they're expected, that you expect them. We know that they're here to strengthen us. We also understand that they're here to cross. Lord, help us as we cross this one. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.